We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Trying not to score everything with about 30 threes or something.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of felt that. We kind of feed off that energy.
This place is amazing. Like, I really love Duke, and I love the atmosphere I'm in here.
Mark Williams, beast mode. Paolo, first half, he had the cramping stuff. Fair enough. Beast mode.
Welcome back. Episode 3 or 2 or 2.5, whatever you want to call it. We're back. A lot has happened in the past week. I don't know. You know, just things have happened. I don't know specifically. I think my memory is just, I'm losing my memory real quick. But, you know, just some things, guys. I don't know. Russ, you remember what happened? I don't remember what happened.
Well, last week?
Yeah, or today, like, yeah.
Something oh, this today, morning right? when I was asleep?
Yeah.
He didn't care about the West posters, man. He didn't. I had just woken up, and I just pulled out my phone and got it. It was right there on Twitter. It was perfect timing, man. But let's go. Cooper Flay, come on.
I woke up with 70 text messages.
Oh, I love it.
Oh man,
yeah, man. It'd be kind of crazy to think about like what a last like 2 weeks has been from the time that he visited UConn and UConn fans, all the smoke was coming out and it ended up being just that. And then he gets to Cameron and everyone's like, he's not looking very happy. He's not looking super excited. Like the guy literally takes that or has his game after Tatum and Grayson Allen. His family grew up Duke fans. Like it's literally like any one of us here going on a visit to Duke and like not choosing, like it wasn't going to happen. I don't know if he's as much of a diehard himself, but his family went, it was never another option. We were told like a week and a half ago that it's Duke against nobody at this point. It's just a formality. Like it is what it is. And I'm just glad that all is right in the world. Cooper Flagg will be at Duke next season. And yeah, we get to enjoy one of the best recruits since I would say Zion Williamson to put on a Duke jersey. So it'll be awesome. I'm pumped.
He's a kid too, you know. Like I think we talked about this last. Like, didn't people also think that Paolo's visit? They were like, "Oh, he looks grumpy. He doesn't look like he's happy to be there." Yeah. Like they're kids. they haven't been in front of cameras like constantly. Like I know Cooper's got a lot of attention on him, but like he's also what, he's 17, right? Like
yeah man.
He that kind of polish, like in terms of like media presence, always like waving and smiling at everybody. He's just trying to be like a kid and have a good time on his visit. Like you don't have to be on every second when you're 17, you know. Like
it's really actually nasty the lengths that UConn fans took to try to twist the recruitment in their favor. The fact they were looking at his every move, they're like, yo, he didn't post this. Oh my goodness, he didn't post directly 2 seconds after he finished his visit like he did at UConn. Come on.
Yeah, Pat, like he shared something on his story like while he was there. There was some picture of him and from his UConn visit or whatever. And everyone was like, oh, it's proof he's thinking about us. Do you know what kids are thinking about like at any given moment? Anything. like anything at all. Like if you've got, like if you're in the bathroom or whatever, and you got 5 seconds, you look at your phone. Oh, that's a cool picture of me. Share. Like it's not complicated. And that's like what they should do. Like that's what normal people do. Normal people aren't like, let me like hatch like a Da Vinci Code esque scheme for all the UConn fans to see the hidden truth beneath the surface. Like, you know, man. It's just, but like, you know, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. You know, they were playing, I think I said this last week or the week before, they were playing with house money to some extent, right? They won the title last year. So, like, if you're going to have a year where you're going to choose to be loud and wrong on Maine, like, that's this year, right? Like, you're the current champion. And so if you are loud and wrong on Maine and people are, like, making fun of you, you can just go, hey, you know what? Screw it. We just won the title. Who cares? So, I mean, that's the way to do it. I mean, so fair enough to them, you know, but
I will say his dad did actually tweet out that he said, I don't think people will truly ever understand how close it was. Now, I don't know if that is just saying that to make UConn fans feel good or like if there was actual like debate in the household on what was going to happen.
Ryan, do you believe that? Do you believe that statement from what we've heard? Do you believe that statement?
I believe, I don't know. Yes and no, because like I don't think he had no reason and no one, he didn't owe anybody to make that tweet like that. I do think there was discussion. I'm sure there was discussion amongst the family, like, hey, this was that, like they, and according to Truly Donovan's article, like it was an amazing visit. Like they whipped out or brought everything out that they could. Like it was as good as it could be. And if it wasn't for Duke in the picture, he would have gone to UConn. But I do think it at some point maybe was closer, maybe in that, like I said, that 2 week stretch leading up to the Duke visit, there was actually like, oh wow, we could maybe see us at UConn. Once the Duke visit happens, I don't think it was that close, but I believe it 75%, but just found it interesting.
That's a very like nebulous thing. You know what I mean? Like it can be close while also like not having happened. Right. Like you can be close to something and still not cross that threshold into like this was ever actually going to happen. Like they were ever in the lead. Right. Like they were just always behind. And like, look, I have no doubt that UConn probably puts on a very impressive visit for its recruits. I have no doubt in my mind. They got a lot of banners. They just won the title again. I think I read that the Flag family and the Klingon family have like connection, like the moms,
Their moms play or something. Together,
So, you know, there's stuff there. I'm sure they put on a great visit. But they were just never in the lead though, you know? So
Let me bring it back. I forgot to do the plugs. Shout out number one to the Field of 68. We're back, another episode. Field of 68 is actually doing a show after us about 9 o'clock on the main channel. They will be talking Duke. Rob kind of forced me to tell y'all this. Yeah, Rob forced me to tell y'all this. So you know, I'm a company man, so I'm obliging. But yeah, they will be talking Duke. They'll be talking everything. They'll be talking the top 25. I believe it's the top 25 show right after this. Definitely subscribe to us on our podcast. We were in the top 20 of basketball podcasts last week or 2 weeks ago. So definitely keep subscribing, keep rating and reviewing. We definitely appreciate that. But yeah, before we jump back in the conversation, shout out my guy Grant Duke Update on Twitter. Again, I don't know where your UConn fans are at, but this is for y'all right here, this video. So let me get it up there, man, on the screen. Did I lose the video? Oh.
This is going to be good. Podcast content for.
Oh yeah. For people that can't see, we're playing a video for y'all.
Just showing a lot of bad UConn takes.
It's a lot of. Yeah.
Is it playing the music?
Oh yeah, yes, it's playing the music.
Okay, there we go. Come on, man. Ian, shout out my guy Ian. You were hella wrong. there goes Ian again.
But they're funny though.
Richard, here's another one. Richard was the one like saying his sources and stuff. 18%.
Oh man, fake sources. Oh, shout out to the TN Husky one. Deleted his account and blocked me, and then deleted his account after blocking me.
There was a guy on Reddit who a couple of weeks back insisted that his barber like knew the truth, and everybody believed it on the Reddit.
Yo, the stories people lied just to make it up, just to make it seem like he had a chance is crazy. Oh man, oh man.
Yeah, this is a long video.
It is a long video, but we will get through all these takes.
Sure.
I think it just goes to show this how convinced they all were. And I know there's some duplicate people in here, but like, man, that's my favorite right there is that one. That was a very clever Photoshop job there with the guy going over them.
Like, I think there were some people who were just trying to like talk it into existence. You know what I mean? There are people who probably didn't like deep down believe that they were going to ever get Cooper Flagg, but they were like, let's just stunt and have some fun anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah, the guy did agree to a permanent ban. he was wrong.
Hasta la vista, buddy.
He tried
today to post something like, hey, I was just trying to make it interesting or whatever. It's like, nah, dude, you banned.
Yeah. But back to the point, respect to Cooper's dad, you said that tweeted it, right? I respect that. I do think it is, from a PR standpoint, it does make it look better when you say it was close. I heard from people that this was wrapped up a long time ago, but this is what I heard from someone who's very plugged in, that Duke wanted it to sound like it was close. I don't know what they really gained from that, but that's what I did hear. So, like, you know, take it for what you want, but I feel like it is a better PR move.
Yeah, I mean, like, I buy that. It's just, like, the fact that, like, I don't think Duke has to prove to anybody right now, especially this staff, that, like, they can out-recruit anybody for any player because, like, they've proven it time and time again. But I can see why you'd want it to maybe make it look closer and, like, oh, Duke came through in the end, you know, type thing. But, yeah, shout out Rachel Baker, man. Everybody, that one guy, I forget, Trilly mentioned him in an article about how Rachel, he said that he started to tweet that like Rachel Baker fumbled the bag and it's in UConn's court now, and that didn't.
It didn't say that. It said it made the implication that, you know, I believe the exact tweet said something along the lines of like, I still have faith in Rachel Baker and Duke to get it done, but like just made the like if they don't come correct the end around, then maybe there's a door open. Which, like,
this comment right here, for people who aren't watching, Duke doesn't lose recruits. They simply stop recruiting them, is something that, like, I feel like a lot of people don't understand in the recruiting game. And I'm by far a recruiting expert, but just like being around it now for a while, like Duke, when kids still include Duke in their final and like Duke has no chance, like it's 95% of the time because Duke just didn't just like stop recruiting them. Not because of anything to do with the player, just like the wrong fit, whatever it is. Like, I don't think people understand that happens a lot. Like, Duke reaches out to a lot of guys, offer scholarships, but after you start constructing your roster for that class, like just guys just drop off and you just kind of stop talking to them. And that is what it is.
I would even say too, like, the nastiest thing I saw on Twitter from UConn fans was them all of a sudden saying they have a better program than Duke, and that's why Cooper Flagg is going to end up at Duke. Let's pump the brakes. UConn, they are the defending champions. You guys can talk however you want to talk. You won the title last year. But when it goes to comparing the programs, you do not see the amount of failure that UConn has at Duke. It's just not comparable. I know you guys saying, oh, five titles, but there's a lot more Final Fours. There's a lot more conference championship. There's a lot more just winning overall. Like, we have to factor in the whole picture of the story. Like, you cannot just take tidbits. Ultimately, it is the biggest one you want to win. But let's be real. This is also how I saw it, too, is UConn, this was UConn's best chance at beating Duke in recruiting. You just won a national championship. Duke is, yes, they won the ACC championship last year. They lost a round of 32. Coach K is gone. So Coach Shire is still in his early stages. Dan Hurley is probably the hottest coach right now in college basketball. And you still didn't win. You still didn't win. So this was your chance to beat Duke in recruiting. I don't think it's ever going to happen again where they'll be neck and neck. But, you know, I commend y'all for your effort and your energy and your passion about UConn basketball.
Yeah, the thing that was killing me, not even any like fan stuff. Fans can say whatever they want. That's great. You know, I love the fans. The Dan Hurley suggestion, and forget the like even the comment that seemed to be a dig at Duke about like we're not in it for social. We're not a social media program or whatever that was. I don't even remember what it was. I always get irked, and people who follow me know this. Whenever a coach implies that they're a blue collar program, like. Dude, they've got like for this team, they've got a 5-star and like 6 or 7 4-stars. They got a $40 million basketball facility. You're not blue collar. It's like when Tom Izzo says that shit. Like it's a laugh when Tom Izzo says that shit too. You know what I mean? Like, you're not blue collar. Basically, they're just using blue collar as like a catch all for like we're gonna work harder than you on the court, which like maybe they will, right? Like blue collar when they were in the first weekend before last season, like was that also blue collar? Like I don't know where like the blue where like coaches think. Somebody turn off your dinging. Somebody's dinging. Zion, is that you? Turn it off.
Oh, that's me. That's
my it's blowing up, dude. Yeah, like I just think it's so silly when coaches are like, we're blue collar. You know what's blue collar? Central Connecticut State is blue collar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Blue collar teams have no chance of winning a title, really. I was trying to think about what was an actual blue collar team that almost won a title. Like maybe
I mean, FAU made a Final Four, but I don't even know.
Sure. But that fair enough. Or I could say maybe like those Butler, Brad Stevens, like early on teams, maybe like in terms of like they just didn't have a bunch of huge recruits, stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I do like JJ's comment that the NBA used to be filled with plumbers and firefighters. Yeah, I think the blue collar shit is so dumb, and any coach that busts that out is usually using it to cover their own ass when they've lost out about a 5-star. Like that's the only time you ever do it. It's like, well, we don't need 5-stars, we're good. No, because they got 7 4-stars and a 5-star this year. So blue collar anyway. Yeah. End rant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Wesley, are you a UConn fan? Is this the only UConn fan that showed his face in the live tonight?
I don't know.
I misread that. Oh, yeah, no, Sportsky.
Hey, respect to any UConn fan who showed up, man. Respect. I mean, they're not blue collar, but like respect. You know, respect to the fans.
Yeah.
You know? The ones who weren't too busy getting married and having baby showers and funerals and all the things, you know.
So real quick, before we talk about what could happen this weekend and then the secret scrimmage, who any guys you want to compare Flag to or get people excited about that? I've heard people compare him to Andrei Kirilenko, and I hate that. I hate that comparison. It's just because they got the same body type, but like, it's different.
I don't even know my perfect comparison, but that Andrei Kirilenko one is just so lazy to me. I think it is a white thing. I do think they do compare in their versatility and defensively. That's
yeah, I think defensively it's yeah.
Yeah. But Kirilenko was not a bucket. Like Kirilenko had games where he could score, but he wasn't like, you know, he's beating you from all three levels. He couldn't really shoot like that. He could get to the rim, but he wasn't
like can't really shoot either. So like the comparison isn't terrible.
I think Flag can shoot okay. He's just not a proven I really hesitate to like bring up even like the name of this guy, but like you know, there are certain players when you're big and you want to work on that outside game, like Wembanyama, for instance. Like now I think Wembanyama's a better shooter from distance today than Cooper probably is. But like Wembanyama's shooting splits before he went to the Spurs like weren't that impressive, but he just didn't need to work on that part of his game that much because he was so dominant at like everything else. You know what I mean? Like, so I think Cooper's form looks really nice. I think it will get there. I think he's got like the stroke. It's just he doesn't have the percentages that light your world on fire.
Yeah, and he's not attempting a lot either from three. It doesn't have a reason to, you know, like he's a guy that can get to the rim at ease. So there's not much. I mean, I think it's
was it last year's career? He shot 48. Last season, he only shot 48 threes all year, made 18 of them for 38%. So, like, he's just not shooting a lot of them either, and that's not really what he needs to do.
I think Jeff said it best today, Jeff Goodman. I think he's a developing shooter, but he just hasn't had to shoot. Sometimes you just don't have to. You get what you want, you're not going to have to shoot. You get what you want at the rim. So, you know, I don't really think it's a he can't shoot. I do think he definitely developing something. And I think at the college level, he's going to flash all the ability to score at three levels. But, I wasn't a big fan of the Kirilenko.
I'm going to get cooked for saying this, but, like, and I – you don't want to compare anybody – No. You don't want to ever compare anybody to this guy, but from, like, a versatility standpoint, obviously not skill yet, but, like, he plays kind of like LeBron. Am I right?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Skill level, just like style. He can defend, he can rebound, he can get to the rim.
Like the passing, he can bring the ball passing the LeBron, the passing LeBron showed right away. Like Cooper's not.
Yeah. I think you're blinded by older Lakers LeBron. LeBron of young was probably the fastest player on the court more often than not.
No, sure. So true. Older LeBron. I'm not saying skill level, everybody chill out. Yeah. I'm talking like style. Okay. I'm not comparing him and saying he's going to be the next LeBron James.
I can see where you're coming from. I just don't see it like as a great comparison, but I see
Someone's taking Ryan's mic away. He's the same guy.
I'm trying to let him off easy, man.
bring in the Sandman, you know what I mean?
Man, like I said, no one's ever going to compare these guys and say, because no one has the ball to do it. I'm just saying, like, the style of play, he's not going to be LeBron. I'm just saying, I mean, I don't know, maybe he'll end up being the best player of all time. What I'm trying to say is just the style of play looks like older LeBron. I still think
LeBron at all phases passed more than all LeBron at all phases could run the point essentially. You know what I mean? So like on that respect, like LeBron is more of a Magic Johnson-y type of dude at the end of the day, right? And Cooper's not that. I liked there was a comment a while back, and I forget where it was. There was the NBA exec that said he was a Paul George, Giannis, Tatum, Franz Wagner, hybrid. Bro, and I like they threw Franz in there just for the whiteness. You know,
I don't mind the Giannis style. Like that, I guess it's like LeBron without the passing. I guess
I'll say Giannis is a better comp than LeBron, because I will say when Cooper gets downhill, there's absolutely nothing you can do.
Like, but I think Cooper's got more in his bag than Giannis, though, from just like a fundamental.
Of course. But I'm just saying that's a better comparison than your LeBron one. So you know, you should have said that. You should have said that one first. But yeah, I think, briefly, on next year, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about the developing roster that we have right now with Cooper Flag?
By the way, did you see what beer I'm drinking here? Allagash White. Do you want to guess why I'm drinking a white tonight?
No.
It's from Maine. What, do you think it was because Cooper's white?
Okay. But this is free advertisement. So next.
Shame on you. Hey, I would love to. By the way, speaking of free advertising, I'm wearing my Christmas hat. Hallmark Channel, the Samness Summit, Sunday, November 5th, 8 p.m. A movie I wrote for Hallmark Channel. Go check it out. This Sunday, November 5th. Also, Christmas came early this morning when Cooper Flag committed to Duke, tying it all in. The roster next year, I think it depends on some of the guard stuff, right? You like that? You like how quick I busted all that out? I think the guard stuff is still up in the air, right? We'll see about who comes back. I think we got a lot of wings coming, which is great. Cooper really shores up a lot of that versatility as well. I think having so many wings and Cooper creates a tremendous amount of versatility. I think things look good with Pat. I don't want to I don't know anything 100%, but like
LeRon, speak on the Pat then.
Make it think it looks good.
Yeah, I mean, we're not gonna. We probably won't hear how Pat Ngamba visited Kansas State over the weekend. We're not gonna really know how that really went, I don't think, until the next day or two. And what's gonna start happening is he's gonna start making his commitment video. We're taking the pictures, or getting an edit done, and it'll start slowly leaking out. But from what I have heard from a not super reliable source, but just somebody who I've talked to in the past, that it's looking pretty good for Duke right now. The visit blew him away, and I think the roster construction we have for next season, and obviously he plays with Darren Harris right now, and they're good buddies. I think it's signs are pointing to Duke, but Kansas State, man, they're not one to sleep on either. And the fact that that he took UConn out of his final three is hilarious, and threw Kentucky in there. But yeah, I'm as of right now, it's Monday. It's a long week. A lot of stuff can change, and a lot of stuff from his Kansas State visit could come out. But I think there's a good chance Duke has some more good news this weekend, which would be exciting.
Jerome Tang is really good and is really not to be slept on. The way that he so swiftly turned that program around, like overnight, really, really impressive. It's a big argument for people like me who have said that schools like Louisville and whatever, who are like, well, we need to give a coach several years. Just find a good one, dude. Just find a good one. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not that – I mean, it is hard to find a good one, but you might as well take that swing. Having all the wings, having that, I think Pat would be a great fit, phenomenal fit. Having the size is great. Chase, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope you like the one Sunday. I think that, yeah, Kansas State is very, very active in the NIL space. Snagging Tyler Perry the way they did was a huge, huge pickup for them. In the offseason, really showed they're not playing around. I think Tyler Perry could have gotten offers from everyone. So they're not to be slept on, and they'll definitely feature Pat in a big way. It's just a matter of doing it as a competitor for a title, the way that Duke would contend for a title with Flag, with all the wings we've got coming in, with the returning talent. I think it goes without saying that they wouldn't. It's just up to what he wants. It's up to what Pat wants at this point. I like our chances. I like our chances tremendously.
Yeah. This is an interesting question. If all three were in the same class, who would y'all take? Flag, Boozer, or the Banster?
I'm gonna say Flag.
Yeah, I was gonna say Flag too.
I mean, it's not, and honestly, between Flag and Boozer, they're the ones who I've watched the most. I haven't seen enough of Demancia. I don't know much about his game. But between Flag and Boozer, I would take Flag. Boozer's great, and I really want Boozer to come to Duke too, obviously. But Flag, the immediate defensive impact alone, is on another level. The defensive impact, he changes your entire team's complexion the second he steps onto the court with what he can do with rim protection, with weak side protection, with just strength inside, with the way that he uses his IQ and rotates really smartly right away.
I'm not saying it's between Flag and Boozer.
I'm saying I just don't know enough about DeBanista to make a strong decision there. I've only really watched Flag and Boozer a bunch.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing. I think I would say it's between Flag and DeBanista, but I haven't actually watched much of him either. It's just, he just reclassified, so he was in 2026, I think, for a while. So
They put him over Boozer, didn't they?
There's been momentum for him being – a lot of people have been reporting, oh, he's the best player in high school basketball, and doing the back and forth between Flag and him. I definitely know that that's been sort of the media hubbub recently. I'm just not as familiar with his game. I am familiar with Flag, and I know what Flag will do day one for Duke.
I mean, he's a true wing. I usually take wings over big – I think Flag – trends more to a wing, more to a forward front court player versus DeBanista, who's a true wing. So, I mean, I'm taking Flag right now. Like, I think I need to see DeBanista a little bit more as well. But it's a wing game.
There's a lot of dudes in college. There's a lot of big man stuff in college too. Like, I generally always go wing over big man, especially as it pertains to like the NBA. But for college, we've seen the bigs. They're sticking around, right? Like all of the elite big men are going to stick around a lot. And so I think having guys who can protect the rim at an elite level is going to be really, really huge as your future, whoever they are in the future, the Edies, the Dickinsons, the Baycotts, them there.
Oh, okay. Like, that's a good – go ahead.
The Klingons, right? Like all of the guys who are spending multiple years in college because they're really big and they can be dominant. I think that having a guy who can – protect the rim at an elite level in college is a really, really huge thing. Maybe even more so than wings to some extent. I don't know. That's a good debate. I would say in the NBA, wings all day without question. In college, I'm a little more torn.
Yeah. I would say even to that point, good segue, because I guess you said Hunter Dickinson. First off, I tweeted this. Duke, we need a charity game next year. We need a charity game before the season. Send us to wherever. Send us to a hostile environment. You know, make money from the game. Televise the game. Sell out the game. And get a taste of what a hostile environment could be before it counts. Because we saw it with Kansas yesterday. We saw it. Michigan State did play at home, but they played Tennessee and they lost.
Yeah,
Tennessee didn't have two of their guards, and yeah. So who else played on this weekend? Purdue
played one. Yeah,
they played at Arkansas. Those games are just good to evaluate your team off of, and they're good to get experience of high stakes. This was full out starters playing to the end of the game. You know, so I think who brought up Baycott? Russ brought up Baycott.
I was just bringing up big men who stay in college for a long time. That was the point I was trying to make. I mean, he made an All-American team a couple of years ago. Like, I'm sorry for bringing it up.
It's a Mickey Mouse All-American right there.
He's not the best player on his team this year. I agree.
He's not. If Elliot Cadeau keeps on playing like what I've seen, he may not be the third best, the second best either.
Third best player?
We'll see.
He's gonna hop in your DMs again, Zion. Be careful.
Hey man, please do, man. I'll remind him that what I'll just you know if he comes back in my DMs this year, all I have to do is just send him the tape of what Derek Lively did to him. Derek Lively was 0-7 against Derek Lively and Cameron, and could not get any of his game off against a real NBA big man. So you know. I hope he comes back and does that. But I will say, even to that point, I think, you know, you mentioned Dickinson. Kansas does not move me. Kansas does not move me as the number one team in the country right now. I've talked to several people, you know, who follow college basketball pretty closely. they kind of tend to agree. I don't believe a team that is led by Hunter Dickinson can be the best team in college basketball. So, you know, that number one is looking a little flaky. But I'm glad they took that number one because Duke doesn't have to have that pressure. But, yeah, that's what I'll say on the charity side of things.
Did they win?
No, they lost to Illinois.
So Purdue, Kansas, and Michigan State all lost their
exhibitions.
They all lost their exhibitions. I kind of wonder, too, for things that are exhibitions like that, if the teams that have, like, the chip on their shoulder of, like, they don't respect us, if there's, like, the team that's favored might be like, okay, we're coming in to, like, get, you know, maybe not quite the same level of verve as, like, an Arkansas or an Illinois would have, you know what I mean? Maryland doesn't get the luxury of getting to play Duke. You know what I mean?
Maryland, your favorite metric, KenPom, Maryland has is actually, I think, like 17.
Yeah, I mean, KenPom is a projection, and sometimes it's wrong. It's right. I forget. He had that big explanation of his preseason rankings, and it said, look, these rankings represent that it will fall within this amount of margin of error 2/3 of the time. So, like, the preseason stuff is very, very loose over there. I don't believe in Maryland. I'm not a big Maryland believer in general as a program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got some good dudes, but, like, Kevin Willard screams, like, 8 seed to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of their vibe. They
made the tournament last year, right?
Did they?
Maybe.
I
think Angel Reese.
I don't remember. They made no movement on my radar at all. No blips.
I think I only know that because I think Angel Reese's brother might play for Maryland.
They lost to Julius.
Isn't that his name?
He had an eight seed, lost to Bama in the second round.
I remember that game.
They haven't been better than a 4 seed since 2002 when they won the national championship.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
They're mediocre, dude.
They've been a 4 seed or worse for the last 21 years since they won.
If we do a
charity game with Maryland, it's for every if they don't say a swear word in the crowd the entire time, then everyone puts up $20 gajillion. Force them to be classy for once in their stupid lives.
Yeah, I would say it definitely has to be a non-conference game. I agree.
Gonzaga. Did we
get to the Dan Hurley comments? Did we talk about him?
I made a blue collar bit. We didn't talk about him calling Duke a social media or like not explicitly calling Duke a social media school. But let's be honest. Hey, that's loser talk. First of all, and second of all, like Calipari's been doing this shit for like a decade, right? Like, you know, he's following the playbook. Like, you know, he got his one. Hurley got his one ring. That's great. You know, Cal's got his one ring. You know, we'll see if Hurley's got more in the chamber than just, you know, a sort of gas bag sales pitch. You know, at the end of the day, I respect what he does on the court, and I respect that he's kind of leaning into the villain stuff. College basketball needs more villains. College basketball needs more sore losers. I'm fine with him being a villain and a sore loser and all of these things. But that is how that comment reads. I mean, it just is. There's no way around that. And if he didn't intend it that way, then he should have phrased it differently because he knew how it was going to come across. He's
not Sports Geek, you are incorrect. John Shire does have a national championship.
He doesn't have a ring as a coach. That's true. It's his second.
He's got an assistant coach. He's got one as an assistant, and he's got one as a player.
Got one as an assistant and a player.
Ask Sports Geek what Dan Hurley's first season at UConn was like. Mm. How that worked out. Yeah. Shire's okay. Better.
I commend Sports Geek because he's the only UConn fan who showed up today. We had about 30, and they were telling me that they made our show. They make our viewers. It's not like we 2 years ago we were putting up like 45,000 viewers on Twitter. Just casually, making people watch during the pandemic. But it's okay. It's okay. If UConn fans believe they boosted our numbers, let them believe that.
Hurley had one good season, which is great. I mean, again, you have to commend him for that. They finished third or fourth in the Big East, despite having a tremendous amount of. I think my boy Kai from Three Man Weave was the one who said, UConn had one of the most incredible, strongest tournament runs ever. And still with that roster, they came in third or fourth in the Big East. So, they'll probably finish third in the Big East again this year. I mean, kind of is what it is. I mean, the Big East is a lot harder than the ACC. I'll give them that. But, still.
Of late. I'll still say top heavy wise.
The period of time that matters, for the purposes of this conversation. But, and the Big East is not the best conference. That's ridiculous. The Big 12 is so much better. Come on.
That's ridiculous.
The Big 12 was the best conference before they added Houston, dude.
Yeah. All right, Zion, hit us with the secret scrimmage stuff that you know, man. Everybody's been waiting to hear about it. I've been getting DMs about box scores and everything. Yeah, you dropped some nuggets here and there.
Armando Baycott DM'd me and asked about the secret scrimmage for
then we can't say it if he did it. I think it's pretty much I don't think anybody has the information that we had the past 2 years. I was lucky enough to come across the box scores just randomly. They just flew into my window the past 2 years. I just had the box scores and just some crazy bird. But this year, I think they just really kept it. They kept the door shut. They kept the door shut as they should. I know for certain that Nova didn't want to get out there, and Duke didn't want to get out there, and they kept him. If you didn't see Trilly Donovan tweet the score, that tells you nobody really knew the score. So the reports that it was a blowout, people were just trying to get clout. Respectfully, I don't mean to call people out, but people were just trying to take advantage of the moment that nobody was releasing info. So, let me be the person to do it. No. I can guarantee you because one thing I did hear, I did tweet it to the public. The only thing I really heard was Duke 1-2 and Nova 1-2. I don't know what that means. It could have meant, the quarters or they're doing the halves and, they break it up into two 10-minute quarters after they play a game. We don't know the full format. We don't know the normal format they did. I think a lot of people that tweeted the format they were basing off of last year's. There was no great information out of the scrimmage. All I heard was 2-1.
Goodman.
And Goodman tweeted
said that Flip looked very good in all caps. And he told us the same. He's like, I don't want to get into the secret scrimmage stuff. And then tweeted it out. I love it. And then he said that our freshman guards and McCain and Foster both played well for Duke. So three things that I feel like we were hoping that would maybe come out of it that we would hear.
Good comment, Ben. I like that. This is good YouTube content for people.
That is great. For the listeners that's not watching this, Ben said.
They have to tune in.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go to the 43rd minute mark on YouTube and watch that back.
go to the
deal. Put up that Sport Geek guy's comment. Shire inherited a team full of no. Shire recruited a team full of five stars. We're not getting him.
The comment that really got me. I mean, forget the Shire one. Was the Big East just 20 times better than the Big 12 last year, bro? I looked this up because I was like, nah, this is what's funny. All right. The top six teams that made the tournament from the Big 12, 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 3 seed, 6 seed, 6 seed. From the Big East, the top six teams, 2, 3, 4, 6, 11, and nothing, dude. Not to mention, your conference still had DePaul and Georgetown, dude. DePaul and Georgetown. You had three teams outside of the top 100 of KenPom. Big 12 didn't have any outside of the top 65. Go sit and spin, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. Give me a break. Yeah. Give me a break. But
if you were to ask Duke fans, or most logical Duke fans, what is some besides wanting to see Christian Reeves dominate, is the fact that you wanted to see how McCain and Foster did and how Flip was looking with his coming off the two hip surgeries. So hearing that stuff went well is great to hear. And guess what, everybody? We get to watch them in 2 days, literally two nights from now. Yeah. They will be playing an exhibition game against, like, UNC. Who is it?
Pembroke? Is that what it's called? Pembroke? UNC Pembroke?
Something like that, yeah. You can watch it on ACC Network Extra. People are asking me how you get that. I don't know. Google it. I figure it out.
It's just one of them games that might randomly. I don't know if they do this for exhibitions, but for regular season, when it's on ACC Network Extra, it's just one of those games that randomly pop on a random channel you have on the TV. I don't think they'll do that for the exposition.
That'll be good. And then a week from tonight, man, we got a game against Dartmouth at home, and then we take on Arizona. So, like, we're getting into it, man.
Yeah, man. Tis the season. Tis the season, man. I'm
Tis
definitely
the season.
Excited.
Sunday, November 5th. That's the most important thing. That's a lead-in to the Dartmouth game. That's a lead-in. Monday, oh, man. Duke versus Dartmouth. Sunday,
Think I have Hallmark, man. I don't even think I have Hallmark.
Now's the perfect time to subscribe, Zion. That's the perfect time to subscribe. You find yourself a nice person of your choosing who's into Hallmark. Wow. You know, you say, you know, maybe let's cozy up. Let's watch a nice romance, a nice little seasonal romance.
Oh, wow. He said Netflix and chill. Yo, this is a PG stream. We do not encourage that.
I didn't say anything non-PG. You can do what you will with the person of your choice. I'm not seeing what's behind closed doors. I don't ask questions, you know?
All right, brother. All right,
it's a romantic
brother,
movie. Santa summer.
Hey, I'm pumped. I'm gonna watch it. We watched In Merry Measure. I'm pretty sure I told you we enjoyed it. So it's fun to watch a movie knowing that somebody you talk to and associate with had a hand in it. You know,
In Merry Measure is re-airing on Monday the 6th after the Dartmouth game. By the way, fun fact. So if you want to give me some of those replays, those rerun residuals, you know,
Go ahead,
Ty. Instead of watching Rob Dumpster, turn it on that Hallmark.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to roast Rob Dumpster. We're supposed to roast Rob. I'm still mad Goodman. You know, Goodman kept saying, like, you know, that we would replace Rob on the main feed. Really, for this show that they're doing, we should replace Jeff on the main feed so that we can just roast Rob for the entire hour or whatever, right? Oh, like, nothing against Jeff, but, like, you know, Jeff's gonna give Rob some good guff too. You know, we know he will. it'd be fun for us to be in there, just to, you know, a big beat down of the Rob never once at any point, I've been trolling him in our texts a lot about the Cooper Flagg stuff. Never once has he been a UConn fan who's like, "Yeah, we're gonna get Cooper Flagg."
No, he's the entire time he's sitting. Yeah, don't have a chance.
I think his sad tweet today was something along the lines of, like, "Yeah, Cooper Flagg went to Duke and water is wet, or the sky is blue, or whatever."
I will commend that he was never a homer. He always said Cooper Flagg was gonna be a Blue Devil. You know, unlike those crazy Twitter people who did not show up today, very, very disappointed In this stream. No, the people who showed up, thank you. Thank you for showing up. But yeah, the UConn fans who wimped out. I remember, what's his name? Penfield. I seen him a lot on Twitter. I'm going to just call him out. Penfield. Who's
Team
another
of the Century one? Was another one.
Team of the Team Century.
They had a bar mitzvah to go to tonight. They had they had a bris.
Oh, man. All of them.
They had a quinceañera to get to tonight. You know, they couldn't make it.
Oh, man. They don't keep that same energy.
On-air production meeting. We going live after Dartmouth or wait until Arizona or both? I'm up for either.
I mean, Dartmouth after the first game of the season, I would think after Dartmouth is fair.
What is Arizona? What is that day on?
That's Thursday? Friday at 8 p.m. your time. Friday 8 p.m. your time.
All right, Friday. We definitely gonna go live on a Friday.
Oh yeah.
And then they play MSU after that. So we definitely gotta play it. Gotta do MSU.
We might have three games in a row. Damn.
Yeah, might have to do three games in a row, man. The season is here. We're gonna have a lot to talk about. Probably be some Christian Reeves hot takes after, you know, he puts up 15 garbage minutes.
We'll have the Pat news by then too.
You know?
Dartmouth for sure will go live again away from today. And hey, probably shouldn't do this, but if anybody's got any companies that you want to see us work with and get you all discounts on, DM me, man. We've been trying to get some show sponsors and trying to get people to help you all out. So any company names or ideas you have in mind, send them my way, man. We're all about that. So we want to help you guys out as well.
Hey, we got Duke people, man. Duke, I know your own companies, all these Duke people.
Come on, man.
I won't say the UConn people in here because, you know. Rob told me about that degree, but no, we won't go there. we won't go there. But yeah, definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in again this week. It's a week away from the season. You know, we're getting very excited. So we'll have a lot coming your way. Please subscribe to us on our podcast on Apple, Spotify, all that crazy cast. Just look it up, rate, review. And tune in. There's another show in about an hour on the main channel at Field of 68, talking to top 25. You know, don't take their Duke takes for gospel. Because Rob is a UConn guy. No, I'm just kidding. Just enjoy the show. Appreciate for y'all tuning in.
I like reading the reviews on Apple Podcasts. There's a lot of good reviews on there of us. You should add to that. I definitely read these.
Yeah, right.
Russ, please do.
Russ wakes up. He wakes up every morning and reads those reviews. So please,
There's one that talks about how attractive I am. So that's the best one.
Yeah, that was that one. That was clearly your wife sent that one.
It says it's from the real Halle Berry. That's crazy.
That's
the
right.
Real Halle Berry.
Somebody who listens on Apple Podcast said you were attractive.
Halle Berry says knowledgeable and attractive. Zion, Ryan, and Russell are incredibly good podcasters, and they're easy on the eyes, especially Russell. The long hair and the gray and that beard, va, 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 boom.
That's your wife, man.
I need to know.
That's what it says here. Look, that's the real Halle Berry. That's what it says. She's a fan. She's a big fan. Let's get her to Cameron this year.
Your wife's got a good sense of humor, man. I love it.
That's good.
Right. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll be back next week after Dartmouth big week. Duke basketball is back. Shout out to all the UConn haters. Cooper flags are blue.